You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
I think one of the interesting things for me, as I have watched this last year from March into now, is watching all the faces that are watching online all over the United States and how amazing that is. And so wherever you're at, whether you're in California, whether you're in Canada, whether you're down in Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia, if you're over on the East Coast, I just want to say to you guys, welcome. I'm so glad that you guys are here. The other thing that I want to share with you guys is and I post it in the comments, is happy birthday, Real Church. So a lot of you guys are like, oh yeah. I want to let you guys know, just really, you know, kind of, I'm going to bring it into the teaching as well, but I want to let you guys know that Real Church was established in February of 2012, and we actually opened up in February of 2013 in Chicago, in Palmer Square, or Circle, I forget which one it is, and the Burton's home, and what a blast that was. I cannot believe that God has sustained, and God has absolutely provided, and God has enabled Real Church to last. And let me just share with you guys, that is a big thing. That is a huge miracle. So from all the families and all the people who have helped out in the process of establishing Real Church, of the prayers, of the gifts, of just when you were on vacation, showing up on a Sunday and just encouraging us in the process that we were going through. For many of you guys, you moved, you gave up so much, and you went across the country, not completely all the way across, but you got to Chicago and you jumped into this crazy thing. And maybe you're a crazy worship leader from Virginia and West Virginia of all places, and you decided to come back from the East Coast a little bit more west, and then you led worship this morning with us. I just want to let you guys know, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I'm so glad that you're a part of what we have going on. And I'm excited that you guys are a part of what God is doing at Real Church. And that's what we're going to talk about today. As we look at Acts chapter 6, let me set up what's been going on. A lot. Okay, so basically we have the life of Jesus coming in, and Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is now. I want you guys to live this way. You think you're supposed to lead like this, but I say you're supposed to lead like this. And the disciples are like, that doesn't make sense, Jesus. It won't work if we do that. Look at all the human things that we have, the structures, the power, the systems, the culture that we have, and your counterculture, Jesus. You say, in order to be great, you have to be little. You say the person with a little has much. And let's just stop right now. In our society, when we talk about entitlement, when we talk about what your rights are and what you deserve, notice that all of it is coming from that scarcity mentality. I don't have enough. And God is saying, if you've got me, you've got everything you need. And he is flipping everything on its head. And that's one of the problems with us as humans. We bring our flesh into our worship. This week, I was at a training, and they were talking about, as Christians, we have to disciple the flesh, and we have to disciple the worldviews out of our lives. In other words, we have to train out the bad belief systems that we have. We have to work hard at moving back to the truth. Now, let me help you out. One of the things that I've been having to work really hard on training is making sure that during COVID, I don't double in size. And so one of those key things is making sure that I understand, how much am I putting in me? How much am I exercising? How much am I moving? How much am I sitting? And one of the things that I started to do was, a long time ago, I tried to put things really close to me, so I didn't really have to put a lot of effort into it. Hence the term remote control. But one of the things that I've started to do is put things far away from me so that I actually have to walk to it to go get it, and bring it all the way back. Well, some of you guys are thinking, well, then I just wouldn't go get it. Right, I had to disciple that out of my head. I had to decide that, no, that's healthy for me to walk across the house to go get something and to bring it all the way back. It's not healthy for everything to be right there next to me. And so we jump into Acts chapter 6 with the disciples actually starting to live out what Jesus has taught them to do. They actually have their lives changed. Chelsea's taught on it. Nick's taught on it. We have that Peter, If you look at Peter in the Gospels and you look at Peter in Acts, there's an absolute change in who he is and what he's doing. Now, he's going to goof up a couple more times. They're not perfect. The Apostle Paul, that's a big character inside of Acts, messes up as well. And I know that's really crazy for Christian seminary students who think that Paul is so close to Jesus, there was no flaw in him. You're reading Acts wrong. And so we're jumping into Acts chapter 6, and what I want you to know is there's problems. Whenever you put humans together, there's problems. If you're going to get rid of all problems, you have to get rid of all humans. And it's not any different in the church. I've been doing church ministry now for way too many years. And one of the things that I'm always shocked and surprised at is this mindset and this belief system that the church should be perfect. That the church should have no flaws. And that's going to get you in. Now, I'm not saying that we give ourselves permission to be imperfect. I'm not saying that, oh, well, now we can just go and sin. That doesn't matter. No. What I'm saying is why are you surprised that there are problems? When you got married, why were you surprised that there were difficulties in marriage? You took two incredibly selfish people and you put them in the same room. You're, well, I'm not incredibly selfish. It's my spouse that's incredibly selfish. Well, not only are you incredibly selfish, you're also incredibly clueless. So let's add those two things together. No, two selfish people have to learn how to be selfless. And the church in Acts chapter 6 is learning to be selfless as selfish is being exposed. Now, one of the difficult things that we run into Acts chapter 6 is the big problem of, man, the church grew. 3,000 people are coming together. Lives are being changed. Food's being shared. Things are being sold. I mean, people are rock solid focused on God. But what do you do when that spiritual high starts to fade? What do you do when now you've heard all the sermons from Pastor Nathan and you know all his key words that he says, walk in the strength of the Lord, pray about everything. Like, you know all his buzzwords. There's nothing new. We'll go find a new teacher. Go to a new smorgasbord. Get a new food. Get a new craving. By the way, that's called addiction. The new thing, the newest thing. Or we could actually apply what we've learned. We could pray about everything. We could make sure that we walk in the strength of the Lord as best as we can. And so we go through that process. We jump into Acts chapter 6, and I'll read it to you guys. It says, now in these days, verses 1 through 7, now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, when things were going well, a complaint by the Hellenists, these are Greek-speaking Jews, arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 summoned the full of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. How hard is it to stay on mission? How hard is it to stay focused? How hard is it to remain true to your vow? How hard is it to remain true to your commitments and your relationships? How hard is it to remain committed when everything's going great? It's not hard at all. How hard is it to remain committed when things get difficult? It gets incredibly difficult. I remember years and years ago, in fact, it was 2011, God was starting to move in my life, and God started to communicate to me that I was no longer going to be at a church in Riverside, California, that God was going to move me, and God was going to do something else with me. And so going on that search to figure out, okay, God, what do you want to do? Where do you want me to go? What are these possibilities? And God was making it very clear, I want you to go to Chicago. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go to Chicago, and I'll apply for a job as a pastor at a church of 1,000 or 2,000 people, and I'll just start, you know, doing that, and maybe we can grow at 500 more or another 1,000. Some of you guys are thinking, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I used to be an executive pastor. I used to be at a church of 3,000. So to me, the normal process that you do in all corporations and all institutions is you get promoted and you move up. And so I remember coming to Chicago and God communicating very clearly, I want you to plant a church. And I was like, God, that's a demotion. Are you kidding me? You want me to plant a church? And God was like, do you trust me? And I was like, no, you're a crazy God. You go where you want to go. You do what you want to do. You show up, you leave. I don't know what you're doing. And God's like, yeah, it's pretty much me. You described me. But the thing different that you don't understand about me is I'm good. I'm trustworthy. And I have a better plan for your life than you do. Amen. Write that in your notes. God has a better plan for your life than you do. Write in your notes that God has a better plan for your children than you do. Write in your notes that God has a better plan for your spouse and your parents than you do. You see, you've got to have things flipped and changed and switched if you're going to stay in with God and you're going to remain. When it's easy and simple and God's pouring tons of blessings on you, let's praise Him, let's worship Him. But when it's a desert, when it's 20 below, can you still praise the King? Do you have the character? Do you have the internal commitment to love Him, whether it's raining or snowing, whether you have plenty or you few? Can you love God? Now, let me help you out. I can't. I need the Holy Spirit in me to produce in me this process. So we're going through this process. My wife and I, we're talking through things. We've got other pastors involved. We've got people communicating. We're realizing we're supposed to go to Chicago. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to plant a church. And then I get a phone call. And please do not put in the comments if you know the information. I'm clearly not communicating who this group was on purpose, out of respect for who their current pastor is. But a group came to me and said, we want you to be our lead pastor. We want you to come to us, and we want you to be in our church, and we want you just to come because we have our senior pastor, and our senior pastor is retiring, and we want you to come in, and there's going to be a transition between the senior pastor retiring and you taking the job, and there'll be 6 months, and we want you to come and be our pastor. This was a church of 3,000. This was a church with facilities. This was a church with resources. This was a church that was I attended and I got to visit when I was in college. This was a pastor that I had sat under several times listening to him teach. This is an insane man of God. And actually, he's sitting across from me telling me he wants me to take over what he's done. I just looked at him. I said, I am so honored. Oh my gosh, I want to say yes. This is amazing. This is amazing. You're asking me to go somewhere where it doesn't snow. Yes. That's what people told me when I said Chicago. I was like, do you know that it's cold there? Do you know that it's cold in Chicago? And I was like, it is? I probably shouldn't go then. No. I looked at this other man of God deeply, and I said to him, I am so honored that you would consider me. Every part of my flesh wants to say yes, but every part of my spirit knows what mission God has called me on. And I've got a tougher journey ahead of me. I've got a direction I've got to go. I've got a direction that I've got to go deal with. Just like when Israel comes into the promised land and there's things they got to clean out, and Joshua and Caleb are standing and talking, and Caleb, an old man, looks at Joshua and says, give me the tough task. Give me the hard work. That's where I want to go. Now, let me be super honest. I'm not super tough. Chicago's not as tough as some of my other brothers and sisters who are serving in more difficult areas. But let me help you out. Chicago is a difficult area. This week I was on a call talking about what is going on inside of the church, and we're talking about racial reconciliation. And some of the African-American pastors said their frustration with the Caucasian pastors is they don't stay long enough for them to become friends. These African-American pastors had pastored their churches for 30, 40, 50 years. And they're like, why would we want to become friends with these Caucasian pastors who just come in for 4 years and leave? And I was like, oh, dang. In other words, what they're saying is, you're not committed. You're always looking for bigger, better, stronger, faster, louder, more pleasurable. You're not committed in the family. And I looked across at this amazing man and I said to him, God has called me to Chicago. He's calling me to plant a church. And this pastor who planted the church looked at me terrified. He's like, do you know what you're saying? I was like, yeah. Come and die. Pick up your cross and follow me. That's what he's calling me to. And this pastor remembered all the pain of planting the church. This pastor remembered all the difficulty that he and his family went through, and he prayed for me. He said, man, I'm going to be praying for you. And I value his prayers. My wife and I went on another trip. We're sitting in another church. We're in Northern California. And this pastor gets up. It was another pastor I wanted to hear, but it was a sub-pastor. So it wasn't like the best pastor. It was like, you know, a pastor who was available when the pastor didn't want to teach. And I'm not putting down anybody. We don't have that at Real Church. At Real Church, we have phenomenal teachers who get to train, and I'm going to get to that in a second, who get to train and use their gifts and skills, and they're good, and we don't call on them once a year when they're like, hi, let's read the scripture together. No, that's not what they're doing. They're talented. And we got to go to this other one. I remember sitting next to my friends, and they were like, we're so sorry he's teaching. And I was just like, you know what? Whenever the Word of God is opened, my job as a Christian and a mature Christian is to learn. Amen. And he opened the Word of God, and he told about a story about a person who came to Central America, and he brought his boats across. And some of you guys are historians, you know who it is, but we'll leave the names out for a second because the story part's important. They brought their boats into the bay and they took all their men on to shore. And then the leader said, burn the boats, burn the ships. In other words, there's no plan B. We're now here and we're going to make it and survive. This is what we're doing. That's true in your marriage. If you have the option for divorce, if you have the option to run, you're not going to stay and fight and work for that marriage. If you're constantly looking at Florida, like me, and you're thinking in the middle of winter, like me, oh my gosh, look how warm it is. Winter's going to be cold. If you're in Florida and you're looking at Chicago and you're constantly dreaming of snow and Aspen and you want to snow ski, summer's going to be hot. In other words, be where you are. Establish where you are. Some of you guys, you got to burn the ships and stick with plan A. There is no plan B. Plan A is God Almighty. Stay with him. And my wife and I heard that sermon, burn the ships. You've got to commit. And we looked at each other like this, what we're going to do is stupid. At this point in time, nobody's on board with us, guys. I mean, I've got Danielle, I've got Leah and Shay. And Leah and Shay at that point in time were not contributors. They were not helpers. They were still full terrorists, okay? What I want you guys to understand is Danielle and I were like, okay, God, you got to show up. What's the mission that God has called you to? What are the ships that you got to burn? What are the hopes and the dreams that you're still hoping for that you got to let go and you got to get into to what is going on here and now? You see, the disciples saw the church grow and grow and grow and grow, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. It had grown, and people were baptized. Man, people were selling property. They had all this administration. They had all these systems, and now they had a food pantry that they were giving food out to. And apparently, the Grecian Jews, who the Hellenists, weren't getting their food portion, and they were upset. And so there was enough of a rumble that they brought the problem to the leadership, to the apostles. They said to the apostles, we have a problem. And the apostles said, yes, we have a problem. But that's not a problem we are supposed to be focused on. the apostles decided to stay on mission. What was their mission? That doesn't mean that the hurt and the pain of somebody not getting food wasn't important. What it meant was it wasn't on their desk. It needed to be on somebody else's desk. And one of the major, major things that you need to do to stay on mission is to say no to everything else. Put that in your notes. When you say yes to what God is saying, you have said no to so many things. And we struggle with that in our entitlement. We struggle with that as Western American privileged people who can open a closet and look at all of our clothes and make the statement, I have nothing to wear. We can open a fridge and see food inside of the fridge and we go, ah, there's nothing in there I want to eat. What a wonderful opportunity you have. You have choice. That is an insane privilege to have choice. And you have to choose what you're going to dedicate your life to. You have to choose what you're going to focus your life on. You have to choose what you're going to sacrifice and give in order to stay on mission. And one of the things that the apostles do is they empower other people. They delegate authority. That's one of the ways they can stay on mission. Is they give away their authority. Everybody was following them. They were listening to their teaching. They were listening to the preaching. They were following what they were going to do. And the disciples said, we got to keep doing this. We need help over here. And so we're going to raise up another group who are going to help us out. Now notice the keys with that group inside of Scripture. It says, verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out tall, gorgeous, amazing, rich, strong words, powerful administrative people who are manipulative and get things done and push things through people and bulldoze over others so that stuff gets accomplished. That's not what they asked for, but stop. That's what we want in the world. That's a flesh answer. A flesh answer is we want strong and powerful people who are good looking and rich and we think that they can accomplish things. Let's just be super brutal. We like brutal people who will push an agenda forward that we want accomplished and will destroy anybody and everybody in front of them to get it done. Do you realize how sinful we are? I love. For 4 years, one political group didn't want compromise at all with the other group, and they dug in, and they dug in their heels, and they said no to you no matter what you decide, we're against. And now that political group is in charge, and now they want compromise. Let's compromise. Isn't that sinful? Now, both groups do it. Sin. Okay? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is saying to you and I, you will be different. They will know that you are my disciples because of your love for each other and your love for me, which means we make radically different decisions than the world. So how do you do this? How do you stay on mission? How do you stay focused? Well, it's really dumb and redundant, but point number one, in order to stay on mission, you have to stay on mission. Point number one, stay on mission. You've got to realize, am I on mission or am I off mission? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I honoring my marriage? Am I not honoring my marriage? Let me help you guys out. A lot of people don't honor their marriages because they put their work in front of their spouse. Yeah, I said it. You make your work an idol. You think your boss, you think your job is your identity and it's going to give you all the love and affection that you need. And the truth is, your spouse is going to be a much greater asset and resource than your job and your business. You know why? Because when they find somebody bigger, better, stronger than you, you're getting fired and you're getting replaced and somebody else gets a promotion. And your spouse is still with you. My wife loves me. She knows I'm C-. There's other dudes that are way above me. They're C, C+, B-, B, B+, A-, A+. Man, they're amazing in the world. But you know where I'm not C-? With my King. That's where I'm not C-. That's where I'm above average. For whatever reason, the Holy Spirit has decided to anoint me, to pour his life over me, and to push into me and say, I'm going to inhabit Nathan, and this is what I'm going to do with him. You got to stay on mission. You've got to look and figure out, am I on mission? Am I not on mission? Well, you're like, Nathan, I'm a college student. I don't even know what my mission is. Fine. Simple question. Will you follow the orders and instructions given by God when he gives them? You got to decide that. Will I do it? If he asks me, if he calls, will I answer? You got to decide that before he calls. You got to decide that before he speaks. You've got to decide, will I listen to God if he talks? Or will I decide not to listen for him? Will I decide not to look for him? You see, in order to stay on mission, you've got to decide you want to be on mission. Whose mission? Ah, you want to be on the king's mission. Now, let me Okay. In our world, we believe in dualism. Dualism is right and wrong, A or B, left or right, men or women, up or down. In other words, we want to have some finality answer that says that this is correct and that is wrong. That's going to get you in massive trouble, okay? Because here's the thing. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Which one's more important? You can't do it in dualistic thinking. You have to do it in holistic thinking. You've got to bring it all together, and you've got to bring all the pieces together. So I want to be very careful with this. What I'm going to teach doesn't mean that what other people are doing is wrong. I'm going to talk about the mission of real church. Other churches have their mission. Lord bless them. May they be faithful and competent to do what the king asked them to do. What we're doing at Real Church, this is our mission. And so one of the things that you have to understand about staying on mission is, what's the corporate mission? What's the large mission of what we're doing? Now, in your family, let me help you out. You don't need to make a mission statement. I can give it to you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Start with the first part. Don't start with your neighbor. Start with loving God, and from that, everything will flow. Is your family set up to love and honor God? Or, sorry, there's a couple people in the room, I'll be super honest. Is your family set up to love dance? Is your family set up to love sports? Is your family set up to not love you at all? How is your family set up? What does your family value? That's your mission. And you've got to decide, we're getting off mission. Yeah, you know, I remember talking to somebody, I was discipling them years ago. They said, Nathan, how many Sundays a year can I miss? I said, well, okay, why don't you make sure that you're still with the family of God and you've got 6 other days to do that vacation and miss that? And they're like, no, that's more important than church. And I was like, there you go. You just said those other days are more important than God. You work it out. Well, Nathan, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, I can worship God wherever I'm at. How's that going? You've got to do it corporately, and you've got to do it as a group. And so when you're on mission, you need people around you that are part of the mission. Also, when you're on mission, you have an individual mission. So we have corporate and we have individual. What is your individual calling? What are you supposed to do inside of the corporate calling? We can see that in Acts chapter 6. The disciples have an individual mission. Read the word and pray and tell people what you read and what you prayed about. That's their mission. And they come to him. We got this problem over here. These people aren't being fed. In the corporate mission, we've got to take care of them. In the individual mission, I'm not supposed to do that. But if you're worried about being important, if you're concerned about power and control, you'll leave your mission of what you're supposed to do, you'll leave your post, and you'll go do somebody else's job, which means your job's not getting done. Now, let me also help you out. This is also the way it works in culture. Serving God is scary. Takes a lot of commitment, and we're worried. And we're really afraid. I don't know if I want to serve God. And if somebody steps in and does the thing that we're called to go do, we go, oh, well, I don't have to do it. It's being done. Do you know what drives people to actually step in to serve God? The problem stays there. It sits. it doesn't move. Nobody fills it. Nobody enables. Nobody comes in and tries to protect everybody else. And it causes other people to step up that the Holy Spirit has been working on and moving in their lives to step forward and to serve. Point number one, in order to stay on mission, you got to stay on mission. Your corporate mission as a group and your individual mission. Let me do the corporate mission of Real Church. We'll put that up on the screen. Our mission as a church is to point people to Christ and to live out our individual and corporate callings for God's glory. We cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. So we seek after God, point one another to Christ, and rely on the Holy Spirit to transform us into the people he created us to be. Let me help you out what that means. What that means is Real Church is different. A lot of churches, and again, it's not right or wrong. A lot of churches say, here's our goal. Our goal is to go north. And we're going to take all of our people and focus them so that we go north. And so you have to plug into what the church is doing. Our church is going to do an elementary school, or our church is going to do massive missions, or our church is going to grow super large. Whatever that looks like, all the people will be pressed into that mission and be pushed through it. But Real Church is different. Real Church has flipped that model, and Real Church is looking back. And Real Church is saying, okay, God, who have you put inside the church? What do you want to do with them? In other words, we're not telling the church, this is where we're going. We're looking at you and going, where are you supposed to go? And we're going to help you go there. That's completely strange, and that's completely weird. It also means that that takes a lot of insight, a lot of courage, a lot of willingness, because it's so much easier to join somebody else's mission to be a part of it, to join in with them, to be a part of the crowd, to run along with everybody else. It's hard to be an individual and serve God. And so inside of our church, if you think about it, you start thinking about all the people inside of our church here at Real Church, even the people who've come in, who've been trained up and been sent out, you're like, oh my gosh, yes. Yes, I see it now. But I don't want it in me. I want it in them. That's natural. Because it's scary to go out. It's scary to take a risk. It's much easier to be in a large group and go, well, it's not my fault. I was just following the leader. It's tougher when you try to do something and someone says, hey, the Hellenistic Jews aren't being fed. And you're like, oh, what do we do? Well, I love what we do. We stop and we pray. We ask the king, what do you want us to do? You see, our mission is to point people to Christ and live out our individual and corporate callings. You point people to Christ by you being obedient to what God called you to do. People point away from Christ when they're being disobedient. Well, Nathan, I'm being obedient and I don't feel like anything's going on. Man, I love it when my children are being obedient and nothing's going on. I love it when my house is calm and everybody's being obedient and everything is silent and sweet. That's actually pretty cool. Disobedient people make a lot of noise, don't they? They create a lot of problems, don't they? They create a lot of cleanup, don't they? And boy, we feel like we're doing a lot, but are we? Notice inside of our mission statement, and this is on Real Chicago's website, we say clearly we can't do it in our flesh. We can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We seek after God, and then we point each other to Christ. We don't point each other to our mission. We don't point each other to our desires. We point each other to where God is pointing them. That brings us to point number two. We point others to where they're pointing. Point number two, encourage others in their mission. Encourage others in their mission. One of the ways that you stay on mission is because people are encouraging you to stay on mission. One of the ways that you stay on mission is making sure that mission is part of the process and you're encouraging others in their mission. This last week, we got together as my family, and we said goodbye to my grandfather, 94 years old, sadly passed away from COVID. But we go through the process of remembering who he was, and as I listen to the stories of who he was, I learned a lot about who I am. My grandfather was blessed by God to be able to see into people's lives and see where they could be used for the kingdom. And he was constantly putting people in places so they could use their talents and their gifts for the Lord. That's what God has put on me. Long time ago, I did a spiritual gifts test and another gifts test and another gifts test and another gifts test and another. One of the ones that came out was arranger. One of the gifts that I have is putting people in places so that they can be used and do what they're supposed to do. My grandfather had that too. And so do you. You can see when people fit correctly. You know when a square peg is in a round hole. That's not working. One of the things that you can do is you can just ask a simple question. How has God made my husband? How has God made my wife? How has God made my child? How has God made my pastor? How has God made my friend? How has God made my neighbor? And encourage them towards how God has made them. Here's the problem. Most of the time, we're manipulative and we want to encourage people to conform to our desires and our wants and what we need, and that may not be what they're supposed to do. One of the other things you have to be careful is flesh is really easy to see. You're super tall. You can grab things that are high. Spirit takes time to look at on what is God doing in the spirit of this person. We look back up into the verses. They looked for people full of the Holy Spirit. They looked for people who were obedient to God. Those were the people they put in charge. Those are the people you and I want in charge. People who are following God. We don't want people who are following an elephant. We don't want people who are following a donkey. We don't want people who are following gold. We want somebody who's following God. That's who we want. Then we need to ask another question. We ask, how has God made them? And then we ask another question. What is God empowering in them? What is God doing in them? Well, Pastor, I'm 20 years old and I'm going to be on this earth for another 60 years. I probably should figure out exactly what God is going to do with me today. No. Okay? No. Relax. Although that's a great idea, that's a terrible idea. Although it's a phenomenal idea, it's a messed up idea. Let me break it down. God is going to use you differently in each and every situation that he walks you into. And the goal of your entire life is that you're dependent on him every single step of the way. Not that at 20 years old, you would learn you don't need him. If God is all about relationship, Christian, hear me. How he uses you in your 20s is going to be different than how he uses you in your 30s. How he uses you in your 30s is going to be how he's different in your 40s. How he uses you in your 40s is going to be different. It keeps going. And you know what? There's no Christian retirement. In Scripture, there's no retirement. You don't check out at 65 and you don't have to be a Christian and help out anymore. Do you know when retirement is? It's called eternity. Encourage others in their mission. It changes constantly. It's exhausting. You've got to look at it daily. You've got to look at it monthly. You've got to look at it with the different seasons. You've got to look at it with the different years. You've got to pay attention. One of the fun things for me is I know that I'm a leader. But when I'm around other leaders, I don't have to lead. My question is, okay, King, how do you want to use me? What do you want me to bring to this group? How do you want me to serve? What does that look like? In each and every area, and that's where you can really see maturity in people. Maturity in people is they don't have to be dominant. Maturity in people is they're okay being humble. Look at Jesus. Encourage others in their mission. Jesus does it all the way through. He tells Peter, you're going to be a rock when Peter's not a rock. Jesus says to his disciples, don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's going to come. It's going to be good. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, don't worry about it. I've been around for a long time. I know how to do this. God the Father says, don't worry about when the world will end. I'm in charge of that. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. Let's trust in God. Point number one, to stay on mission, got to stay on mission. Point number two is you got to encourage. Right now, we're in a time where we're exhausted. Right now, we're in a time where we are spent. Right now, we're in a time where we're frustrated. Right now, we're in a time where we have used all of our good thoughts and vibes and hopes, and we've used all of the donuts. We've used all the sugar. We've used all the alcohol. We're spent, and now we're at the end of our rope. And we're just going to tell people how we feel. New, immature, demonic, Satan worshipers will go that route. Men and women of God will be encouragers. Men and women of God will be people who speak truth and give love and point people in the right direction. That's what we've got to do. We've got to encourage others in their mission. Man, there's a guy in our church I absolutely love. His name is Tony DeLeo. I don't know if you know this dude. Tony DeLeo is hilarious. Tony DeLeo is, I have no idea. Honestly, Tony, I know you're watching. I have no idea what you're going to say, when you're going to say it. But one of the things that I know about you is that it's so authentic, it's insane. And one of the things that I love about Tony is Tony and I, years ago, we had a deep conversation where we talked about stuff, and I just encouraged Tony. I said, Tony, this is who God has made you to be. Don't feel shame. Don't feel blame. Don't let all this other pressure. Let me move all this off of you. Relax. Just lead the men's group. No pressure. They're idiots. They're knuckleheads. They're going to go wherever they want to go. They're going to forget where they are, and they're going to just be you, Tony. It's okay. Just be you. You know what's amazing in our church is our men love Tony. Because Tony is just him. He's not lording over all the men. He's not commanding them and dominating them and telling them what to do. Tony's loving on them. Tony's encouraging them. Tony is looking at other men and he's saying, and he's said this, rise up. Rise up, men. Rise up. Become who God has called you to be. And I understand, men in the church, they're scared. If I rise up, then I'm opening myself to criticism. I get criticized all week long. I don't want any more. Well, men, let me help you out. We can follow God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and we'll still have Hellenistic Jews who aren't being fed. But we have a choice. We can be faithful, and we can be obedient, and we can be the men of God that he's called us to be, and we can handle each and every situation through prayer, seeking God, and trusting in his spirit. I think that's our goal. Well, ladies like, I can't handle another thing. I got so many things that are going on. I have so many things that are happening. By the way, ladies, let me help you out. That's usually because you're not on your mission. You're on several missions. You're bored, and you want to feel important, and you want to be included, and you want to be in relationship. I get it. But God is saying, be in relationship with me first. Tie in with me first. Be where you actually are going to get the love and the care and the joy that you really want and you desire. This is where it is. And then me and you, come on, let's be honest. But you're slow, God. I wanted it yesterday. And he's like, I've got my timing. We've got to encourage each other. Stay faithful. Relax. Be patient. It's okay. I remember being in marriage counseling. The marriage counselor asked me, he said, how old is your daughter? I said, she's 8. He says, why are you expecting her to be 30? I said, I'm paying you, aren't I? You're supposed to say nice things, right? How about I just relax and let an 8-year-old be an 8-year-old? I think that's part of encouraging, too. When new Christians come into the faith, let's not act like they need to be 20-year-old Christians. Let's allow them to grow and to learn. And you know what? Let me help you out. How about with 20-year-old Christians, we expect them to be 20-year-old Christians? Sit there and think about that one for a moment. Point number 3, support others on mission. Support on mission. Encourage and support. How do you support people who are on mission? You follow them. I remember when our worship leaders first started leading worship at Real Church, our church couldn't follow them to save their lives. Our church was trying to sing their own songs. They were trying to go into their own chorus. They were trying to go into their own bridge. They would start clapping a different rhythm. And our worship leaders would be like, why aren't they following? It took years for us to learn how to follow, right? To trust, to relax, to let somebody else lead. You, when you allow somebody else to lead, show your security and your trust and your faith in God. And you don't have to fight. You can follow him. And you don't have to ask questions constantly from the back seat. Just sit back and be quiet and look out the window and play the ABC game. Okay? Or the I Spy game. But do it quietly. Follow them. Learn from them. Support others on mission. Learn from them. This week, my daughter asked me a question. She said, Dad, you're meeting with this person. I said, yeah. Is that person your friend? I said, yeah. Are you discipling that person? I said, yeah. Are you leading that person? I said, yeah. She goes, so what type of a relationship is it? And I was like, it's multifaceted. And not only that, I learn from this person too. Not only do I teach them, not only do I train them, not only do I disciple them, but I also listen to God teach me through them. In other words, I'm always learning. I'm not somebody who doesn't have to learn anymore. So how do we support people on mission? We follow them. There's nothing better than someone saying, I'm with you, and them actually being there. That you're not alone. I remember the Harry Potter movie, the last one. If I'm ruining the Deathly Hallows Part 2, I'm sorry. I don't know where you've been for 30 years. Literally, this character is coming up against a dark force that he can't fight on his own. And a bunch of people who are ill-equipped and not super strong gather together, stand behind him, and together as a group, corporately, do it. That's the story of almost every amazing epic story. It's a community that comes together. They choose to let down and set down things and follow. The other one I think that's important when you support others on mission is allow them to learn. Allow them to learn. Allow them to go through the process of trying things and it not working. And let me be real. I'm sorry when it's you that it hurt. I'm sorry that you felt like you didn't get a phone call. I'm sorry that you were missed out on the giving of whatever it was and you felt excluded. Well, how come that leader didn't call me? I want to be included because they're a brand new leader and they're learning. Them leading a group of 8 was really big for them. To do 9 people would have been too much. To do 10, 11, or 12, they're not ready for that yet. We understand. We excluded other people. I'm sorry. But you've got to think about the benefit of that person growing and leading. If they can do 8, then soon they can do 9 and you can be included. And then somebody else can be included. Then somebody else can be included. And some of the great things that we can do that allow people to grow and learn is not being included. We create space for them to learn. The other thing that we can do to support others on mission, and I love this about our church, okay, I'm just going to literally like, well done, Real Church, is we give to them. We give them our time, we give them our talent, and we give them our resources. We give them food, we give them money, we stand with them. One of the things that I've done with Andy Burton to help support him in his newest ways that he's been doing, the magazine that he's doing, is to stand with him at his events and to be there with him, to stop everything that I'm doing, to shut down my entire world, to tear down all of Real Church, to pack it up into a van, to drive all over Chicago, to set it all up, to get all these things out and stand with Andy and Emily in their business and support them. And I know he knows because he's like me. My time is my most valuable thing. Man, I'll give you my money. I'll give you a shirt. I'll mail something to you. Man, I'll even give you a gift certificate on DoorDash. But me to physically show up and be there with you, what is that communicating? My physical presence with you. What is that saying? And I'm not the only person that does that. You guys do that as well. You guys are amazing. Pastor Mike has been fundraising for years and years and years, and you guys are supporting him. You are supporting a missionary at Darwin who's running around every single day preaching the gospel. We have no idea how come he hasn't been fired because of CPS, because he's constantly telling people about Jesus, and he's casting out demons while at work. That's crazy. But you guys are supporting him. You guys, through your giving, and you guys, through your tithing, you guys support me so that I can sit here and be present where God wants me to be and be obedient. When I thought the church wasn't going well, I was like, God, I'll get a job at Home Depot. He said, no. I said, God, I'll get a job as an Uber driver, and I'll drive as an Uber driver, and I can lead people to Christ all the time, and I can talk to them, and I can invite them to church. And God said, no. I said, God, I could be bivocational. I could go back and I could teach in the school, and we could get better health insurance. And God said, no. I said, Nathan, I have set you aside. This is what I want you to do. Stay on mission. And let me be honest with you guys. I was like, but God, I don't like the mission you picked for me. I want a different mission. And God's like, Nathan, be obedient. Do what I told you to do. Be faithful and stand there. Be salt and light. And then God took me through 2 years of seeing all these scriptures that just said, stand. It's like, but they're not doing anything, God. And he's like, ah, you miss it, Nathan. They're being obedient and they're standing. They're staying. Some of you guys, the way you're going to bless other people is you're going to stand with them. Stay there. Through sickness, through health, through richer or poorer, you're going to stand with them. You're not going to leave them. That's amazing. We support others on mission by following them, by learning from them, by allowing them to learn, and by giving to them. So important. Keep it up. Point number four, how do we stay on mission? Accept feedback through love. Accept feedback through love. Now, let me help you out. There's a lot of people out there that want to give you feedback that don't love you. There's a lot of criticism right now in our world. There's a lot of people that feel just because they have a Twitter or they have a Facebook or they have a tick or they have a talk or whatever they've got. Don't stop. I'm going to start rapping. It's not going to be good. Whatever they've got, they feel like I have a voice. I got to say it. Just got to say it. Just got to communicate it. Just got to put it out there. No. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you saying? A new living translation. Out of your thumbs, your soul speaks. What's in your soul? Is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control? Is that coming out of you? Or is criticism and judgmentalism coming out of you? And the answer is, dang it, it's the other one. Pastor, I'm so tired. I was so good for 5 months. And you were. You were great for 5 months. Pastor, I made it, okay, maybe 4 months. But I was good for 4 months. Yes, you were. And I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to say you've used tons of energy and effort and love. And gosh darn it, we're all spent. And right now is where we got to double down. Right now is where we got to decide, no, I got to be more loving. You've been trapped in the same house with your spouse or your friend for months, and now you got to be more loving. You got to give even more patience. You've got to give even more love. You got to give even more tenderness. But we've got to be able to accept feedback through love. And the key thing is when you're giving feedback, put the love filter in front of it. Well, Pastor, that takes another step. I know. Pastor, that takes a lot of energy. I know. Pastor, that means that when I think something, I don't just say it. I hope so. One of the reasons why I'm so exhausted on Sunday after preaching is I've got racing in my head. The things that I had planned to say, the Holy Spirit coming in and talking and being available to what I need to communicate. And sometimes you hear me mess my words up. You'll hear me go, sometimes I'm starting to say something and God's like, no, we're shutting that down. Sometimes I'm saying something and God's like, nope, we're going a different direction. You're saying this. And sometimes I'm just speaking too quickly and I got to slow down. And so when I'm done on Sunday, I'm done. I'm spent. But one of the things that we have to understand is when people truly love us and they put things through the filter of love, it moves to contributor. Oh, you guys are thinking the culture series that I preached a couple years ago. Yes, moving from criticism to contributor. Somebody who loves you, gives you feedback that contributes to the well-being of you and the community. That's great feedback. If it doesn't benefit them, if it doesn't grow them, if it doesn't love them, why are you giving it to them? Just be silent. Some of you guys, you're blessed with the gift of prophecy. That's phenomenal. God shows you and reveals things to you. But one of the things you have to do in Prophecy 101 is to learn, God, what do you want me to do with this? You showed it to me. Am I supposed to say something? Well, God, we've learned after 9/11 that if you see something, you say something. No, that's not how it works spiritually. God shows you something, and he wants to see how faithful and obedient you'll be with the information. Let me help you out, prophets. God shows you something, you're faithful and obedient, he shows you something else. You're faithful and obedient, he shows you something else. You're faithful and obedient, he shows you something else. Let me help you out, Christian. God gives you resources, and you're obedient, he gives you more resources. 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 That's the way it works with God's economy. The more faithful and obedient and the more you stay on mission, the more he empowers the mission. So we need people to give us feedback and love. This week, I was at the dinner table and I was just exhausted. We've had our house burned down in California. We lost a grandfather. I've had a couple close people dealing with COVID, and it's been pretty bad and pretty rough on them. I had another buddy go into ICU and literally was in ICU for 7 days. I mean, all the emotional ability I had in me was gone. I didn't even cry for a week and a half. That's just, I'd gone past the hurt level into just numb. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I was just sitting at the dinner table, and my wife looked at me, and she looked at me with just really compassionate eyes, and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I just sat there, and I was like, "No." I don't know what to do. Now, she loves me. She's giving me good feedback. Her feedback was, "You're not okay." Why? She needs me to be okay. She needs me to be who I'm supposed to be. And at that point in time, I was beat down and I was exhausted and I was done and I was spent and I had nothing. I don't know how many of you guys have ever seen me sit at a dinner table and just not talk. Leah hates it, so she talks the entire meal. Shay loves the silence, so he side-eyes Leah. Danielle's in her own world thinking about her own thing, so she doesn't even know that we're having dinner. It's just like the most amazing. What I'm trying to say is, guys, there's somebody who loves you and comes to you and just says, "Hey, you're not doing well, are you?" But then there's other people who want to come to you and give you information that are chocolate-covered turds that just want to destroy you. And they want to feel powerful, and they want to feel critical, and they just want to abuse you because that makes them feel good. And that's not who we're going to be. We're not giving out chocolate-covered turds. If you have to say, "Hey, I'm not trying to offend you, but," if you say that, shut up. Literally, that's my spiritual advice to you. Don't. "I'm not trying to be rude." That's where you should become silent if you're really not trying to be rude. "I don't want to offend you." Then don't. But move to love. What does moving to feedback with love is? One, we realize that we're all learners. If somebody is being faithful and obedient and they're on mission and they're trying to serve God and they're trying to learn, and yeah, you were one of the Hellenistic Jews and you didn't get your food a little bit late, and yeah, you're miffed and you're frustrated, slow down for a second. Be gracious. Remember, we're all learners. You're struggling just as much to follow God as they're struggling to follow God. Amen? Accept feedback through love. Where does love come from? Grace. We remember that we're all dependent on God. We're all dependent on God. Well, how in the world am I going to be a part of this church when they can't even feed the Hellenistic Jews? I'm out. That's not the answer. God, we're humans. We mess things up. Case in point, we killed the Messiah. Help, Lord. Let grace come into your life. We're all dependent on God. One of the things that I'm struggling right now as a leader, and I'm just being super honest with you, is I am done and I'm sick and tired of people puffing up in pride and going, this is what we're doing in 2021, and this is how we're going to combat, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to go, and this is what... And I just stop and I go, your track record says every single time you say that, it doesn't happen. One of the things I've been saying now for about 9 months is I don't know. I don't know. I do know that our mission is to train you to love God and to focus on Him and be the man and woman of God that He's designed you to be. I don't know what the methods are going to be. I had no idea I was going to become an internet evangelist and be on this forever and sit here and do all these things. I had no idea that was going to happen. But we've all been flexible and we're changing our methods and we're adjusting. I don't know what next month will bring. I don't know what the next month will bring. Huh, maybe that ties into scripture. Don't say that you'll go to another town and do this or that, hence the book of James. Say perhaps if the Lord wills, we'll go do this. But I'm watching Christian leaders all over the place give out these big, huge proclamations, and I'm like, come on, guys, read James. Accept feedback through love. Remember, we're all dependent on community. Now, let me just be super honest. There are people in our church who are so loving. I love their feedback. Have you gotten feedback from Emily Burton? Andy, you're not accepted in this conversation. But has Emily Burton ever given you, like, just really good feedback? That's amazing. You know who else I like feedback from? Heather Love. Sorry, Nick, you're out of that loop as well. If you're a spouse, you're automatically, it's like, if you do this event, it's void in California, Illinois, and New York. Kind of like, if you're a spouse, it just takes, Heather Love is amazing when she corrects me. She goes, Pastor, I know you're trying really hard. And I'm like, okay, what did I do? And then she lets me know. And she's like, but you're going to do better. I'm like, thank you. I am. I'm going to do better. Thank you. I like Jody Finley. I love Jody Finley. Jody Finley, when she's like, Pastor, like how she does that, like North Dakota thing. I love it. I love it, Jody. Like, she's like, I just love how you tried to do that and it didn't work. And it's going to be better next time. And I'm like, it is. It is, Jody. I love it. Okay? I love Holly. When Holly comes to me and Holly encourages me. Holly's like, Pastor, you got to preach the word. We may not like it. You got to tell the truth. Pastor, you got to let us know what we're going to do. We're going to argue. We're going to fight with you. We're going to push back. But you preach the word. You tell us what you're supposed to tell us. You got to be like a doctor in the ER. You show up, you say what it is, you leave, and you let all the nurses cover up what you just said. I'm like, yes, Holly, I love it. Accept feedback through love. Move to contribution from criticism. Our whole world is moving to criticism, isn't it? Our whole world is critical. It's brutal. It's so bad right now that in politics, they're taking on a nobody congressman from California. That's how bad it is. But they're looking to criticize to get any ability or any strength. Look at what's going on in Chicago, the argument from CTU and CPS. Look at the arguments from, just all over the place. It's all critical. Let me just be super positive. Do you know that there's a bunch of vaccines being sent out right now at light speed, faster than it's ever happened before in the history of the world, and we're being critical? Do you realize that they went from nothing to millions of doses in 9 months? That's insane. But we're not singing the praises of AstraZeneca or whoever all these other people are that we're doing, and Johnson and Johnson. We're not praising them for what they're doing. We're being critical that it's not enough. Really? Wow. We need to become people who are lovers. We need to become people who are encouragers. We need to be people who say thank you to teachers when they go back to work. We need to say thank you to our police officers who have been out there standing through everything that's gone on through the chaos. We need to say thank you to our Black civil rights leaders who are still calling on the systems that are still broken. We need to say thank you to them. We need to say thank you to pastors who preach the word of God and teach us that we are sinners and we desperately need the Holy Spirit to sanctify us and change us, and that Jesus dying on the cross is just as important today as it was when you were 8 years old and you accepted Him. We need people of the truth to speak into our lives and to encourage us. And that's what's beautiful about Real Church. That's the mission. The mission is you are becoming who God designed you to be. And we are encouraging you in that process. That's what pumps me up about this church. That's what excites me about this. I think of Darren. 3 years ago, I think it was, came to me and he's like, hey, do you think I should start playing guitar? And I was like, what? He's like, you know, I mean, first of all, let me just tell you this. Darren's like the weirdest dude in the world. He's done everything. So if you just, he's like, yeah, one time I was doing brain surgery when I was in seventh grade. Like, I'm like, what? And he's like, no, seriously, here's the photos. It's showing me. There's Doogie Howser. There's me. And we're doing surgery. Like, Darren's crazy. And Darren goes, I was thinking about maybe buying a guitar. And I was like, yes, buy the guitar now. Purchase it. Darren's like, oh, I don't know if I should get an 80 string or a 40 string. Or I'm like, Darren, purchase the guitar. Play. Get up there. Lead worship. And look at what Darren was doing today. How awesome is that? So cool to see you guys step into who God has made you and to be and to do. Isn't that awesome? Now, I could have gone through everybody in the church. I really could have. I could have walked through one by one and say who you are. There's somebody who's precious in our church. They reached out to me and said, Pastor, we haven't done Lord's Supper in a while. Hello, Hellenistic Jews, all the mini churches. Pastor, we haven't done Lord's Supper in a while. The next time we do Lord's Supper, can I bake bread for all the mini churches so that they can break it where they're at? I'm sorry that I didn't think of that. Like, that's an amazing idea, God. That's how Chelsea would have done it. That's an amazing, I literally, that's amazing. Yes. I wrote back. I don't know when we're going to do it. That's a great idea. Let me figure it out. Send. And you know who you are in the group. Now there's other people like, well, I'm going to bake too. We're going to do sourdough for the Lord. And we're going to braid it. No, stop it. Relax. Here's our application. Thank you for letting me preach long. I've been excited. Can you tell? Can you tell this is what I love to do? Can you tell that I love you guys and I cannot wait to see you be who God has called you to be? That's like just not the fullness, just today. Just be today what you're supposed to be. I could talk about David. I played a couple weeks ago. I could talk about Madge. Could talk about Marlon. Marlon doing the rap song that we played a couple weeks ago. Marlon, next song, drop it. Here we are. We are all training and learning community. Amen? We are all training. I love that they call doctors medical practice. They go to school more than us. They study more than us. They know more than us, and they still call it practice. We are in spiritual practice. Amen? Spiritual formation. That's what we're doing. We must be guided by humility. Underline that, circle that, like highlight it. Whatever you do in your digital media, snap it, pick it, whatever, I don't care, okay? Humility is our key at Real Church. Humility and grace. Humility and grace. Isn't that the opposite of our world right now? Yeah, it is. Humility and grace as well, excuse me, we must be guided by humility and grace as well to allow us to fix it later. This is we grow in faith and maturity in Christ. You know what? Give me grace. I misspelled. This is a terrible sentence. Somebody can fix it later on. Didn't mean to mess it up, but there it is. Let me try to communicate what I was trying to say. We must be guided by humility and grace and allow spiritual practice as we grow in faith and maturity in Christ. What I'm trying to say is there's many steps to what's going on. Let's relax and kick back and chill on that. You know what I need? I need Rachel DeLeo right now in the comments just to say thank you, Pastor. Like, I love it when Rachel encourages. I love it when Chelsea encourages. After every time we preach, Nick Love gets on the Real Church leadership thing chat, and he puts in a truth that stood out to him, that impacted him, and communicates what's going on. You know who else I love that encourages me? Is Siobhan Huerta. Have you ever seen her smile? It's hard nowadays with masks, but even when she has a mask, she just smiles and beams and her eyes light up and she communicates, I love you, without saying it. What I'm trying to communicate is we have amazing people in our church who are encouragers and who point people to mission and encourage each other towards faith and good works in Christ. My prayer is that we continue to do that. So if there's somebody in our church that you want to encourage right now, say it in the comments, text message them, whatever you've got to do, Marco Polo them, encourage them. Because when they grow into who they're, stay on mission, you and I benefit. Amen? Church, stay on mission. Church, do what the King called you to do. If you're a gatekeeper, stand in front of the gate. If you're in the choir, warm up those voices. If you're in charge of bringing wood into the altar, you bring somebody who just grab a butt, just bring it in and set it down and go get another one. If you make the pots, do that. If you bake the bread, bake the bread. If you're someone who stands up and says, all rise, and you do the call to worship, call people to worship. Whatever you do, do it in the strength of the Lord, not in your own power. May God bless you guys. May you guys have a wonderful day eating way too much food, watching commercials, and laughing and cracking up. And may I enjoy this day because it's the only time my daughter ever sits with me and watches a sporting event. But she's only doing it for the commercials and for the weekend halftime show. But I'll take it. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy yourselves. Bye, guys.